1-1 pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Way up there. Way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Strikeout for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Hope you had a good weekend. Welcome back. It was a busy weekend for the Seattle Mariners, so we have a lot to get to. First of all, some craziness in Chicago. John Hicks made his major league debut in Chicago, and it may be the most unique major league debut in Mariners history. We're going to cover that coming up. But you hear from John Hicks as well after the ball game. Also, Shannon Dreher, a chance to catch up with a new Mariners catcher slash third baseman. So that comes up in a few minutes. Really a wild weekend of baseball. The Mariners, they end up splitting the series with Chicago. They take 2 of 3 since we talked last, but a golden opportunity to take 3 of 4 from the White Sox, but one bad throw and not able to close down the game yesterday. So they end up taking 2 of 3 from the weekend and splitting the overall series that started on Thursday against Chicago. So 2 games apiece, and the Mariners off to Houston to take on the Astros, the first of 3 games starting tonight. 5:10 first pitch from Houston. Also, obviously, since we talked last, a lot of Mariners news as Jack Cerenzik let go as general manager for the Seattle Mariners. Great conversation coming up. Shannon Dreher, a chance to sit down with Mariners team president Kevin Mather. Very good conversation about the direction of the franchise and what he's looking for in the next general manager. Incredibly informative. So that comes up right after we review some of the weekend. So let's get to it. The Mariners losing on Thursday, the first game of the series to the White Sox, 4-2. But then bouncing back on Friday in a very entertaining and a highly unique ball game in Game 2 of the series. Mariners have not shut out the White Sox at their place very often, but they got some excellent pitching against the White Sox on Friday. Taijuan Walker, well, the starter for the Mariners, was excellent in that game against Chicago.
1-2 to Abreu. Swung on and missed. He juiced that one at 96. Struck him out. 1-2-3. Go the White Sox into third. Taijuan's fifth strikeout. Nothing across in the sixth.
And it was a game where the Mariners had plenty of opportunities to try and score, but really they only needed 2 swings of the bat to get it done.
Pitch swung on and driven deep to right. High fly ball. Giddy up, baby. It is gone. Home run, Kyle Seager. And the Mariners have a 1-0 lead. Kyle Seager's 19th home run, his 50th RBI, and the Mariners lead it 1-0 here in Chicago. Got it on a 2-1 pitch.
Seager homers, Gutierrez homers, 2 swings of the bat in the sixth inning, and then Taijuan Walker and the bullpen able to close things down. Smith comes in, Carson Smith comes in, and then Tom Wilhelmsen, he finishes off the deal.
The 0-2 pitch, fastball swing, and a fly ball into left field. Smith is there, and he makes the catch, and the ball game is over. The Mariners shut out the Chicago White Sox. 2-0 here in Chicago. The Mariners' 10th shutout win of the season, their 4th on the road. Taijuan Walker, an outstanding job, gets his 10th win of the year.
And the good news after the game, Taijuan Walker had to leave with a little hip injury, hip cramp. The good news is he should be good to go for his next start. It was a scare as he kind of, you could see it, he threw one pitch and kind of tweaked it a little bit. His next pitch kind of fell to the ground. But after the game, saying everything was just fine. So that's the great news. He was excellent. Mariners pitching was excellent. And they have done something that they have not done very often as a franchise. Just the 4th shutout the M's have thrown at New Comiskey, or U.S. Cellular, as it's now called. Just the 4th time that's happened. I was looking back at those games, too. It's kind of funny. The 4 starters from those games, Taijuan Walker. In 2007, Jeff Weaver, he did it on his own. Jake Woods the year before that. And then you have to go back to 92, turn back the clock. Dave Fleming was the starter. Jeff Weaver was the only solo. The rest of them needed some bullpen help along the way. But only the fourth time the M's have thrown a shutout in that park. The launching pad, I mean, that place gets pretty crazy, and we saw it the day after. So the Mariners take Friday 2-0. So the next ball game, Kyle Seager was back at it with the long ball.
The pitch swung on, well hit ball. Deep into center field. Eaton going back to the warning track, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Out toward left center field. Kyle Seager, an opposite field home run with Marte aboard. And the Mariners jump out to an early 2-0 lead here in the top of the first. That ball kept slicing away, and it sliced into the bleachers out toward left center. And there's number 20 for Kyle Seager. In the fourth season that Kyle has hit 20 home runs, he becomes the first third baseman in Mariner history to hit 20 or more home runs in 4 years. Congratulations to Kyle Seager. High fives from his teammates inside the Mariners' first base dugout. 2-0 Mariners.
Yeah, he hit the 20 mark. Well done. The Mariners are off and running. 5-0 lead in the ballgame. Hisashi Wakuma, you know, not sharp. He actually walked four guys. Only the second time in his career he's walked four in a ballgame. But pitched into the sixth inning. Despite that, a tough place to pitch. 5 2/3, only 2 runs. So tip of the cap to Hisashi Wakuma. And then handed off to the bullpen. And things got pretty weird in the eighth inning as Ketel Marte grounded out, drove in a run to do it. He had an excellent game, by the way. Some really good at-bats. An 8-pitch at-bat where he had a sac fly. Picked up the base hit before the Seager home run. Drove in another run on a ground ball. Unfortunately, came up limping. It was, as it turned out, not serious. So the chance he could play tonight in Houston, which would be fantastic news. But he was lifted from the ballgame. Now, what made things interesting is Brad Miller had already been lifted for a pinch hitter at that point. So Miller's out of the ballgame. Marte has to come out, and the Mariners are left without a shortstop and a very thin bench at that point. So, as the White Sox chip away, they had a big eighth inning. They get to within one, and what the Mariners have to do is put Kyle Seager at shortstop. He hadn't played a short since 2011. September 28th, 2011, he started a game at shortstop, had not played there at the big league level since. Only 10 major league games at short, but that got overlooked because they turned to John Hicks, who had just gotten called up the day before from the minors. John Hicks making his major league debut, and he's doing it at third base. An unbelievable scenario. And, of course, the Mariners, after the White Sox scoring, you know, getting within one, they have the big eighth inning. It's a one-run game, and John Hicks, with one out in the ninth inning, gets a ball hit to him.
And the 1-0 pitch on the way, swing and a pop-up. Left side of the infield. Calling for it is Hicks into foul territory. Now leans to his left and he makes the catch. The ball finds him, but he handles the pop-up for the second out of the inning.
So he made the out there, kind of leaning over, but leaned enough to make the catch. We'll hear from him in a second, but it's pretty incredible. One inning in his life playing third base, and he was a junior in high school. And there he is, his major league debut playing third base. It's incredible, but the Mariners able to finish off the win.
3-2 pitch, swing and a miss, strike three, pitch in the dirt. Sucre, the throw down to first, and this ball game is over. The Mariners hang on and win it 7-6 over the Chicago White Sox tonight here on the south side of Chicago. The marathon is over.
It was such a weird game. First of all, 4 hours and 16 minutes since games, well, official game time became a thing in about 87. That is the second longest nine-inning game in Mariners history. The longest in 1996. Some of you probably remember this one. Chris Hoyles beat the Mariners on a walk-off grand slam in Baltimore, 13-12. That one went 4 hours and 20 minutes. That's the only longer in recorded Mariners history. Four hours and 16 minutes through rain. Oh, it poured at times. It was just nasty, and just the grounds crew was working all game long. Sucre at one point had an infield base hit. Hicks makes his major league debut at third. Seager played shortstop. It was just a strange and weird and crazy game, but the Mariners end up getting the victory. Well, Helmsen goes an inning and a third to close it down. Iwakuma got the win to move to 6-3, but an incredible game. Hicks, after the ball game, talking about his major league debut.
Oh, well, really excited. You know, definitely not how I pictured my debut, but happy to get it out of the way. So
it's kind of a mad dash in from the bullpen. What did they tell you?
They called down, actually, and Mike had told me to start stretching when he saw Marte. When they went out to check on Marte, he said Sucre might go to third. So I started stretching, and they called down and said, Hicks, you're going to third. And I was like, wow, all right, let's go.
Was that your fielder's glove? I mean,
no, it was Miller's. I came in and asked if anyone had a glove for me, and Miller ran in and got one. So
Skipper said you had a glove in your bag. Skipper said you had an infielder's glove in your bag.
No, I did not have one. I have a first baseman's mitt, but no other infield glove.
Pop-up goes up in the air. You're looking over at Kyle. What's happening here?
Yeah, it went up, and I was expecting Seager to call me off, and he didn't, so it got to the highest point. I called it, and just tried not to mess it up. So.
John, when was the last time you played third base?
High school, my junior year, I played one inning. In the middle of a game, we were up by a good amount, and I caught every inning that year. So coach said, hey, go play third. We're going to get someone else in for an inning to catch. And we actually gave up a few runs, so I caught the last inning. So.
Did you have any chances at third base in that one inning?
Yeah, actually, it was a swinging bunt. I came in, fielded it, and threw the guy out. So.
You have
a problem. Yeah, I don't I was nervous, that's for sure.
Were you nervous heading into that at third base? I mean, were you anxious getting rushed, that rush heading in? Or?
Yeah, you know, I actually said earlier, when they said third base, it was kind of such a surprise that I didn't have the butterflies that I thought I would have. But, you know, still nervous, and a lot of those righties came up, and I was waiting for it, but only got the pop-up, so.
Just crazy, and Kyle Seager, great perspective playing shortstop, standing next to Hicks. Here is his view of things.
More fun. You only get the debut once. You know, it's a pop up. I mean, he's a big leaguer. He can catch it.
How much are you talking to him over there? This is completely foreign to him.
Yeah, it was fun. It was kind of funny, you know, watching how nervous he was, and you know how it was fun.
How about this? I mean, it's been a while since you played short. What do you think? I mean, because the game got tight there.
Yeah, I was less nervous playing short, though, than he was playing third.
I bet so. That's true.
It was all right. I've played a little more short than I think he has third, so he did good, though. He caught.
How much was he coached up ahead of time on the shift that he had to participate in twice?
Yeah, that was, I mean, he's probably just as comfortable playing out there than he was third, so, you know, it's... It was a heck of a debut. So he got to bounce all over the place. But yeah, the shifts are weird. So I mean, going over there, I think he went to the wrong spot. They switched him and Robbie. So it was interesting.
Kylie, hit your 20th home run of the year, and that's four straight seasons. There's about five other guys in the organization that have done that. I mean, how important is that kind of consistency?
You know, that's definitely an accomplishment. You know, it's you know, I think you kind of strive to be, you know, consistent, and you know, to continue to improve each year. So, you know, it's definitely something nice.
Kyle Seager talking about Hicks and a little bit about himself. 20 home runs. Mariners got the win. We'll hear more about Hicks coming up in a second, sitting down with Shannon Dreher. It was yesterday, though, he actually got a start behind home plate and came up in his first at bat with his very first Major League base hit.
Next offer, swing and a fly ball into shallow right field. That's going to drop in, a base hit in front of Trace Thompson. And congratulations to John Hicks. Welcome to the big leagues. First at bat, you get your first Major League hit. A single into right field here at U.S. Cellular Field on this Sunday afternoon, August the 30th. So they're going to take that ball out of the game. Felix gets to it and pretends he's going to throw it up into the crowd. But John Hicks, congratulations, young man. You got your first Major League hit.
And then next batter, he got to trot around the bases.
Here's the stretch, and the 1-1, there goes Hicks. Pitch on the way, swinging a fly ball deep into the gap in right center field. Heaton going back to the track, to the wall. Goodbye, baseball. Austin Jackson with an opposite field two-run shot, and it's now the Mariners 4 and the White Sox 1, and for Austin Jackson, his 8th home run of the season. It was a hit and run, and he hit it.
A two-run home run by Seager in the first, a two-run home run by Jackson in the second. They combined to go 6 for 12, 5 ribbies, 4 runs scored, a big day at the top of the order, including, this is a wild game, it was back and forth, and then Seager in the 8th inning comes through with a big knock to give the M's the lead. At that point, it was 5-4. Edgar Olmos, his major league debut as a starter, pitched well, 5 innings, 3 earned runs, and the bullpen pretty good after that as well. But really, you look at this game, and it comes down to defense. The Mariners, a chance in the 9th inning. Well, Helmsen's down in this one, so Carson Smith is on to try and finish this one off. And he got the ground ball. Ground ball to shortstop. Routine play to shortstop. Mariners with 2 outs in the 9th, a 1-run lead. And it looked like, at that point, it was the ball game.
Here is the set, and the 0-1 pitch, swing and a ground ball out near second, up of the ball, Miller. The throw to first, wide, and it gets on by Morrison. And here comes Thompson on to score. And the White Sox have tied up this game at 5-5 in the bottom of the 9th inning on a throwing error by Brad Miller. And the White Sox now have the winning run on its second base.
So tough. Good throw from taking 3 of 4 from the White Sox. And the Mariners, they committed 2 errors in the first inning as well that led to a run. White Sox turned in a couple of really nice defensive plays to take a couple of runs away from the Mariners in the middle innings as well. The Mariners, they really had a chance to tack on. They had a 4-1 lead, and in the third and the fourth with chances to add on and really extend things, they weren't able to do it. So the defense, the name of the game, and the one yesterday, the White Sox in 11 innings. It went 2 more after that, 6-5, the White Sox. When Rollins was the last man standing, he takes the loss, an inning and 2/3. He was going to go however long the game needed to go, and the Mariners lose in 11 innings, 6-5. So they split 2 games apiece. Now off to Houston to take on the Astros for 3 games. This is going to be a very tough series. Of course, the Astros have been good all year long, but the Mariners will be facing Dallas Keuchel in the game tonight. They face Feldman, who's pitched well on Tuesday, and then they have Kazmir on Wednesday. So in a 3-game series, they're going to see Keuchel, they're going to see Kazmir. So we're going to talk more about the Astros coming off the podcast tomorrow, but right now we're going to hand things over to Shannon Dreyer. An excellent conversation with Kevin Mather, and about where the franchise is headed and what they're looking for now, what Kevin Mather specifically is looking for in the next general manager.
Shannon Dreyer here, meeting today with President Kevin Mather of the Mariners. And by now the news is out that you've decided to go in a new direction with the general manager position. Just real quick, Kevin, the decision that you came to, I know this is not something that happens overnight. What goes into it, and where do you find yourself today?
First of all, you know, the 2015 Seattle Mariners season has been disappointing. We expected more. Certainly our fans expected more, as shown by the attendance and the support they've given us. But as the season went on, and I blame myself a little for not, okay, there's something going. This team has resources. It has the ability. We should be winning. I kept waiting for the team to win, and eventually I said, all right, let's go back and look. How are we doing in all aspects of our baseball operation? International, amateur drafts, professional scouting, player development, sabermetrics, analytics, major league coaching staff, minor league coaching staff. I went back and reviewed it all, and I said, you know what? We need a leader that can put a winning product on the field year in, year out. Whether it's not about 2015, it's about the next 10 years and the support this franchise has received in the Seattle area and surrounding area is so outstanding. There's no excuse for it, and we need to start to win. We need to play games in October that matter. We need to play games late in October that matter. So it was a very difficult day today. Jack was a dedicated, hardworking, tremendous, loyal Mariner employee, and I consider him a friend. I met with him this morning. I flew down last night because I wanted to do it face-to-face. I met with him this morning, and we ended our working relationship. He handled it first class. I was extremely impressed with the way he handled the entire process. He said, "I get it," and we moved on. So we're moving on.
One of the biggest things that I've heard as far as concerns go from fans in the last few hours is, does this mean you are starting all over?
You know, somebody asked me that earlier today. They said, are we going to tear it down to the studs? I think the way they said it, are we going to tear it down to the studs and start over, or are we tinkering? First of all, I've heard from numerous people that this is a job candidates want. People, there are baseball people out there who want this job and are extremely excited about the job. So I'm enthused. As I said earlier in the day, if I have 10 interviews and 5 of them tell me we should tear it down to the studs and start over, I'm going to say, uh-oh, maybe I misread this. But my guess is the nucleus of this club is solid. I think that's one of the good things about what we did today is we have time here in September to get GM candidates in here to make an evaluation. We can get them on board in October, and we can tinker in October, November, the off season, and put a winning product out there in 2016, get this thing turned around quickly, because I think we're really close. So that all said, if 6 GM candidates tell me you got to tear it down to the studs, I'm going to take 3 steps back and say, let's look at it again. I don't think we're there.
Is there a chance you can make this hire before the end of the season, or are you targeting right after the season?
I could. I don't want to put a timeline on it. You know, if I said the end of the season and then we didn't make it, the stories would be written about how the Mariners are botching this, and I don't want to do that. I want to make sure we do a full screen. I have a list today. The list will get bigger, and then it will start to get smaller. I want to be thorough. I want to bring key members of the Mariner team into play as to help with the evaluation. So it could happen. I'm not going to commit to it, and if it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. By the way, I'm assuming anybody interviewing for the job is paying close attention to what, you know, they're learning even when they don't have the job. So,
what do you want to see from them when they come in? I've heard presentations, this, that, and the other. What's the expectation when they sit down with you?
Oh, I'm not looking for any big, great presentations. I want them to evaluate our staff. I want them to evaluate our players, both at the minor league and major league level. I think the general manager job has grown in tenfold in the last 10 years, and I need somebody who can recognize what they don't know. You don't have to be, although they all, in today's game, they all are analytic, sabermetric types. They don't have to be, but they have to be able to acknowledge that's an important part of the game today, and we're at a disadvantage if we don't incorporate it in our system. I'm going to hire this person, or I'm going to use this person who's already on the Mariner staff and incorporate it into what we do and how we make decisions. So I need somebody who knows what they don't know, and they're willing to listen and hire good people to help them.
I know you put a ton of work in this year and just really kind of analyzing everything that's going on from top to bottom of this organization. In addition to that, what do you draw on when making this decision?
Oh, I know. I've been in the baseball since 1989. I know a lot of baseball executives. I've had, I was in Cooperstown, and I was getting advice from baseball executives who were telling me, boy, the Mariners should be better. And so I know people. I have people that I can call. I can have people I can jump on an airplane and go see and sit down and vet candidates and vet the process. So, there's a lot of close, long-time steady baseball people that I'm going to lean on. I also have a great ownership group that their opinions matter, and I'm going to make sure that they're heard as well.
What do you see as the strength of the organization right now?
The Mariners, my job's to provide resources, put people in spots, hold them accountable, and help them be successful. And our franchise is in really good shape. We have a great fan base. They have been unbelievably supportive. I feel terrible that 2015 didn't go like it was supposed to go, because it's been too long. But our fans turn out. We have a great partner in Root. We have a great partner in 710 ESPN. We have great corporate sponsors, and we have a great ownership group. So the strength of this franchise is really that we have resources available to get this fixed quickly. And now I just have to find the right person who's going to do that for us, and that's run our baseball operations and turn this into the October baseball team that it should be.
Well, Kevin, we wish you well with that. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for coming in.
And I found that to be incredibly insightful, and we'll have lots more conversation on that as we move through the rest of the season and into the off season. Right now, though, Shannon's back, this time a conversation with John Hicks.
We are catching up with the newest addition to the team, John Hicks. And, John, we saw you come in yesterday. Last 24 hours for you. How do you find out that you're coming here? How do you get here? And what have they been like?
It's been an exciting time. I was in the game in Tacoma. It was the sixth inning. Came out, and Pat Lestash, the manager, came over, and he actually asked me about a hitter we had just faced that we had talked about earlier in the game. Asked me how he got him out, and I told him, and he said, "Okay, by the way, you're done." And I was like, "Okay," didn't really know what was going on, but so I went and sat on the bench and came back over to him and asked him if he wanted me to go to the bullpen and warm up pitchers, and he said, "Not yet." He said, "We're kind of waiting on confirmation, but you're going to the big leagues." I was really excited. Had a big smile on my face, and it didn't leave my face for a long time. And then getting here, and saw McClendon, said, "Hey," everyone said, "Congratulations." And then met with Trent, talked about the catching signs and relaying from him. Then got to enjoy the game. And then went down to the bullpen in about the sixth inning, and got to talk and mess around with the guys down there. So it's been a lot of fun.
It was funny because we watched you, and all of a sudden you've got three coaches around you. I mean, it was like an intensive, let's get going.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you as a catcher and as a hitter, obviously you've got to learn all the signs. What do you have to learn?
First, I talked to Trent, and we went over, first and third, first and second, my signs that I'm going to give the infielders, how I get that from him. And then we talked about controlling the running game signs, like our pickoff sign and things, and how I get that from him, and then the relaying to the pitcher. So they try to keep it pretty similar all the way up as far as controlling the running game. In that meeting, Rojas was in there, and Wader was here, and just kind of Trent kind of controlled it, and then they threw in their bits and pieces. So
you said you were going to sit next to Trent during the game. Were you able to do that?
I was, yeah. I sat by him for the first six innings, and every half inning, I didn't know whether I was okay if I walked away or not. But it was fun. Whenever a guy got on first base, which there weren't too many with how Walker pitched, but I watched him give the signs to Sucre, and then when hitters would come up, he would just throw in a little bit and piece of how he wanted to attack that guy for when I am in there. So
I'm hoping we'll see you tomorrow. You've got a good familiarity with the guy on the hill tomorrow. Tell us a little bit about Olmos and what you've seen from him this year.
He missed a little bit at the beginning of the year, but once he got to Tacoma, he looked really good. His fastball had the life that I had heard he had. I didn't really see him in spring training much. And then, as he progressed, as he got more comfortable, his arm got, in better shape. He really took steps forward. At the end, they put him in the, he got a couple starts and caught in one game where I think he went five innings, no hits. And Pat came up to him and was like, it's the first time I've ever had to take a pitcher out of a game when they have a no hitter. But, he's got great stuff. He's got a good fastball with good life that, is, low to mid 90s and maybe get up a little higher. And then he's got a good curveball slide, a slurvish slider, and then changeup's a really good pitch. So
you talk catcher good.
I've had some practice. So.
All right, let's get a little bit more about Olmos. One of the things I've noticed, he never looks the same. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look like he does in any of the pictures in the media guides.
Yeah.
He doesn't look the same as he did in spring training.
Yeah.
And he's goofy as all get out.
Oh,
he is a lefty. And does he have a lot of that lefty in him?
Oh.
We haven't had
yet. For sure. He's definitely got the lefty. He's an intense guy, too. Just watching him pitch, he'll get – big situation, get a ground ball, double play to get out of an inning or something, and to watch his reaction and stuff, it's pretty fun. He definitely lets that intensity out on the field. And, yeah, he definitely has his lefty pitcher moments, but you got to love him for it. So they keep it light, and they have a good time. So, but, yeah, he had a little beard thing going, then he had the mustache going. The hair was longer, and he cut it. So he's kind of went back and forth on a lot of different looks.
Got to keep an eye on that one.
See you later!